The Will Cain Show podcast is presented by Eno, the Capital One assistant. What's in your wallet?
This is the Will Cain podcast on ESPN Radio.
You know, the funny thing about the NFL when it comes to coronavirus, y'all remember coronavirus, right? We haven't needed a refresher. I mean, it got back billing for the last couple of weeks, but you do remember coronavirus, right? The funny thing about the NFL and coronavirus is it's largely been, you know, exempted from all of the hard conversations. Oh, what's the revenue split going to be? What are the fans in the stands? Because it happened during the NFL's offseason. But as we creep towards the fall, what if there aren't fans in the stands? Will the NFL get in the same fights that Major League Baseball did, have the same troubles that the NBA has had? And finding a way back. It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and on ESPN News, presented by Progressive Insurance. And you can join me on the Shell Penzo Performance Line at 888-729-3776. Coming up in just a moment here on the Will Cain Show, I'm going to hear from you. My calls are lit up. I asked, what's the solution to the protest? It's the only productive next step to take. Plus, LeBron James has responded to Drew Brees, and I have real pessimism about where a moment of unity is about to head. That's coming up in just a moment here on The Will Cain Show. But ESPN NFL reporter Jeff Darlington was talking about this recently. How can the NFL make projections or move forward or plan to come back if they don't know if fans are in the stands? Because what we've learned from baseball and basketball, no fans in the stands, big revenue declines. 40 to 70% for those two sports. So what about football, Darlington?
The one thing I would warn against is that we don't know exactly what it's going to look like in 99 days when the NFL plans to resume. The NFL is making it a little bit more complicated by saying that, yeah, we continue to plan to have fans in our stadium. So I don't know how they're necessarily going to have these negotiations with the NFLPA when they're sitting there saying, yeah, we plan to have fans, but we also want you to potentially make concessions if we can't.
Will they be asking something similar to what Major League Baseball asked of its players? Hey, it's all good as long as we're back, but if we're not and we lose massive amounts of revenues, we're going to have to talk about adjusting that pay scale. Dominique Foxworth of The Undefeated said, they better not do that.
None of them are going to lose money as a whole. They may not make as much as they want, but they're not going to lose money. And it just bothers me. It's kind of upsetting and frustrating that they're trying to use this opportunity to get in a better position, particularly the NFL. They're going to get new TV deals probably at the end of this year that are going to be enormous. They'll be fine. And the average franchise values have jumped by 180% in the last decade, while player salaries have jumped by 65%. So it's frustrating through all of that entire growth. We're not partners then. Now all of a sudden, baseball and football, now all of a sudden we're partners and you want us to join in and participate in these losses. When we're making record gains, you don't bump the salary cap up because the new TV deal necessarily. You try to tie it to revenue all the time. But when things go down, you want us to go down. I think it's unfair and they use their leverage in this opportunity in an unfair way. And I know that football hasn't sent a proposal yet and Major League Baseball has, but I know that they're going to because that is what they do in these situations.
I find two arguments compelling on both sides of this debate. First, Dominique alluded to one. As a business owner, you reap the rewards of the risk and you pay the price of the risk. That's the risk tolerance. You will endure losses and you will endure gains. And he's right. When business is booming and profits and margins are going up, you don't go back to your employees and go, let's figure out how we can split this up more. Although, raises do come a little more liberally and it's easier to negotiate with your employer when everybody's going gangbusters. But when things go bad, that should also be on the risk taker. And I get that argument, but there's another side of that coin. There's another reality, and that is business reality. If an owner doesn't want to continue to do business in a certain climate because he doesn't find it profitable, his step is to shut down. That's what I think Major League Baseball has debated every step of the way. Look, you guys can negotiate against all these different things you want, but it might be against zero. Because if I don't like playing baseball to lose money, then I'm not going to play baseball. And you'll earn zero, and I'll lose zero. And I think that's an economic reality. You can say, well, the owners will never do that, and the NFL owners probably never would do that. So that threat would be hollow. It would be empty. But that is a reality of the world as well. The risk taker can decide to stop taking the risk. I don't know if the NFL is going to get into the same fights as Major League Baseball, but they've been exempted from it so far. And maybe they will remain so, because I do remain or am even becoming more optimistic that we're going to have not just a full schedule of games, but we're going to have some significant fans in the stands as well, both as a matter of policy and as a matter of individual consumer choice. Are you a little more willing to go to a football game today than you were a few weeks ago? We'll bet you the answer is yes. Coming up here in a moment on the Will Cain Show, it's Wednesday, so we're going to have our Wednesday Will Cain Show quiz. A guest, and then you folks can take me on, 888-729-3776. Geography, history, pop culture. I technically was defeated last week for the first time, but Mike A. threw a knuckleball that didn't move down the pipe to a guest who had a major in the question. So,
yeah, I mean, are the callers taking you on, or are you out and Travis is in? I wasn't sure.
I feel like the game was a little bit, you know, rigged last time. Before our guest that's going to take me on in a quiz comes up, let me go to the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line where I have John from Missouri. What's up, John?
How you doing, Will?
I'm good.
Hey, man, I just want to let you know, man, I appreciate what you do. You know, I listen to your show every day. And, you know, I listened yesterday, and what you said about the individual, you know, the finding things out on your own individually to try to strive in this climate. I'm one of 15 guys at work, and I'm one of the only black guys, right? And so it's a little uncomfortable sometimes. But what I noticed is like, when we're having these conversations, it seems like they don't know the history of the country. And I feel like they can't feel my outrage, you know? And, you know, this whole thing, I feel like it's something that, you know, it's been happening over and over, but I feel like this one is like the tipping point. So I feel like this isn't going to be just a phase where we just talk about it for a little bit and it goes away. And I applaud you because you always have an opposite tone of mine, but you stick with that tone. And I just want, you know, people to keep on having these awkward conversations because, you know, it's never going to end, and it hasn't, and I'm almost numb to it, you know. But, you know, talking to these guys at work, and I bring up, hey, did you know about this? This happened this year, and they don't have a clue. And I feel like right. That's a big disconnect between, you know, the races, you know, black and white or whatever, you know. Right. So I just wanted to, you know, let you know, keep on, you stay with your tone and keep preaching.
Well, I appreciate that, John. Stay on the phone line for a minute. I'm going to keep you in this conversation. So I want to read everyone LeBron James's tweet. He just responded to Drew Brees. Now, Drew Brees said he doesn't agree with kneeling during the national anthem or before the American flag. This is what LeBron James just tweeted. Wow, man. All caps. Is it still surprising at this point? Sure isn't. You literally still don't understand why Kaepernick was kneeling on one knee. He has absolutely nothing to do with disrespect of the flag and our soldiers. Men and women who keep our land free. He goes on to talk about his father-in-law who served as well. So you talk about the country, and we also talk about, for example, John, your individual experience, right? And I think both of those are reality that have to be acknowledged. Here's why, John. Here's my thoughts. Because the truth matters, right? Because
absolutely.
Nothing can start unless the truth is acknowledged. Again, I referenced David Goggins earlier, and I really like him because he's just like, he's unforgiving, and he makes you question yourself and like be better and don't give yourself excuses. But he also talks about how he grew up. He's like, I just don't know how to tell you more clearly. I was called the N-word this number of times. I remember them vividly. This has been my life. And you can hear in him talking, you just have to acknowledge the truth first. The guys you're working with or your friends, that applies to two places in my mind. One, our national history, right? It's the truth. It's part of our history. And your personal experience, should you choose to share it with them, right? And those are two pieces of truth that just have to be a starting point. But here's where I become the bad guy now, John, to everybody. It's not the end of the story. And it's not the only truth. So when Drew Brees says, or I said in 2016, I don't like Kaepernick kneeling before the flag, it's because I don't, that's not the end of the story. It might be the story that you want to talk about, but when you do it in front of the flag or the anthem, then it becomes the entire story. And if you start taking down the concept of America at its core, if that's the goal or if it's not the goal, you understand that is what's being communicated. And I think that's what's happening right now between LeBron and Drew Brees. I could be wrong.
Yeah.
I don't know. And you know, it may be happening between you and your coworkers too. I don't know. I could be wrong.
You know, somewhat, but you know, like I said, you know, what you said yesterday about the individual thing, that's something I try to, you know, include in my thoughts. And you know, with the Kaepernick thing is I'm a little conflicted there because I'm an ex-soldier, I'm an ex-military, ex-army, and I wasn't offended because you know I'm also black, so also I knew where he was coming from. Mm-hmm. But the other side of me was like, man, you can't do that. I mean, you know, anybody in the military will tell you, you know, that's you know our flag is our flag. We're standing on this hill protecting our flag, you know. But at the same time, you know, it's we're also aware of the police brutality and everything that's going on, and it's almost like the other side doesn't get it, you know. But you know, with the way you said it, this is not the end, and people need to understand that. You know, you've enlightened me so much, you know, with looking ahead and saying, yeah, there's bad things that happen in this country, and you can be outraged by it. But what is the, you know, what is the outcome? What is the goal? You know, I tell people, you don't use common sense. Your sense is a little more advanced than common. And everybody needs to try to get on that wave instead of just being simple and leaving it at this and seeing what we can do, you know, to move forward. You know, so I appreciate, you know, everything you say, your point of views. Though I may not agree with them, it's the other side, and that's what we need to have real conversations. I feel like you're one of the only ESPN analysts having real conversations because you're saying what you feel. You're not just saying stuff to sound cool and to be, you know, noticed, like, oh, Will's standing up against this. Like, no, you're speaking your mind, and everybody else needs to do that and not just cater to the causes that are happening.
Well, man, I appreciate what you had to say. I really appreciate to know that you're out there listening. Thank you for your service, and thank you for sharing your thoughts with me, John. I just kind of go back to where I always start. It's inward, not outward. It's who are we as individuals. I truly believe that's where every problem and every solution lies. All right, coming up, we're going to hang out with Mike Golic Jr., one of the hosts of Golic and Wingo. He'll be the guy that takes me on in our Will Cain Show weekly quiz. That's coming up in just a moment.
Capital One knows life doesn't alert you about your credit card. That's why we created Eno, the Capital One assistant that looks out for surprise credit card charges like overtipping, duplicate charges, or potential fraud, then sends an alert to your phone and helps if you need to fix them. Another way Capital One is watching out for your money when you're not. Capital One, what's in your wallet? See CapitalOne.com for details.
Geico knows there are many reasons why you ride, from the camaraderie of the other bikers, a band of brothers, always there for you, rain or shine, to the amazing savings you get with Geico on your motorcycle insurance and accessories coverage all year round. But for Bucky Hornhill, it was one reason in particular.
It was my helmet hair. I was born with helmet hair. I've tried to cut it a bunch of times, even buzzing it, but it immediately just goes back to helmet hair.
Geico Motorcycle. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Mike Golic Jr. joins us, one of the hosts of Golic and Wingo on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Pennzoil synthetic motor oils are made from natural gas. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil, based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30. What's up, Junior?
Not too much. I mean, I got to say, though, the intro coming back, I hear enough of Dad and Trey in the morning, so I appreciate the sentiment there, but I got 4 hours of them. I came here to hear Will Cain.
You're going to, and you're going to take him on in a quiz in just a minute. From what I understand, the expectations are very high for you to take me down. But first, let's talk about a few things. Listen, in the first hour of my show, Junior, in talking to Booger McFarland, we talked about both Drew Brees and Vic Fangio. I want to talk about Vic Fangio for a moment. I have more understanding, and nobody will like it, but what Drew Brees was getting at than I do Vic Fangio. I think Fangio was wrong, and to act like there's not discrimination in any walk of life is naive. And so I didn't know what he's saying, but he has issued this apology, and I'm just going to read you the first paragraph. And he says, after reflecting on my comments yesterday and listening to the players this morning, I realized what I said regarding racism and discrimination in the NFL was wrong. While I never personally experienced those terrible things firsthand, I understand that many players, coaches, and staff have. He went on to say that he was talking about what he hoped the locker room represented and essentially that it was a place of unity and setting aside of differences to achieve a common goal. Now, I think I'm going to guess, Junior, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but you, like I did, think what his initial statement was wrong, to say there's no discrimination in the NFL. But I do think he has a little bit of a point that he probably inartfully was trying to get at. Like I've often said, and you would know this better than me, man, the locker room is a place to kind of strive to live up to. Not in every way. It's a very crude place, right? And that kind of thing. But the setting aside of differences towards a common goal is kind of what everybody wants to get at some point anyway, isn't it?
It absolutely is. And I think the thing that you're right, Vic went about it the wrong way. And just the statement, I don't think there is, you know, racism or discrimination in the NFL, is just hard stop, like wrong. Obviously you and I just both acknowledge that, but you're right. This is a point that I've heard Bill Curry make over the years. Herm Edwards talked about it on our show the other day. The locker room and really the huddle is this ideal. And I think more so because of exposure, right? Like I grew up in Avon, Connecticut, one of the whitest places, super homogenous. Like I grew up with a lot of people who came from backgrounds like mine. And so getting to be a part of a team, getting to be a part of a locker room for as many years as I did was just as much exposure as it was all those ideals of setting aside our things for a common goal. Cause yeah, that anchored us and we had that in common, but every day I sat around in the locker room with people that came from different backgrounds and I heard their story and we ate together and we traveled together and we spend all this time together. And so I think over that time period, that familiarity is probably as important a part of what athletics offers as anything else.
I think exposure is a big, big part of it, but not all. Mike Golick Jr. here on the Will Cain Show. Have you ever heard somebody say this? I think there's a lot of truth in it. Do you know how you solve racism overnight? Alien invasion.
What's that?
An alien invasion. Because as that is a light way to point it out, what would happen is there would be all of a sudden a common unity and purpose and goal, right? And of course you could say, well, then there would be an other that you would really establish as the other and you would be the similarities. And the point is, whether or not it's the military, which I think also shares some of the things you just talked about with football, unity of purpose. That's what the point of the alien example is. Like unity of existence. All of a sudden your difference is becoming small compared to what you want to achieve together. That, and by the way, I don't want that to slip into, oh, as long as we all agree and march in lockstep towards the same things in society, but rather agree we all have a vested same interest in some common goal. You know, on a light note, it would be defeating the aliens if they wanted to kill us.
Yes. Yeah, no, I would say, and listen, as someone who is very anti-robot, certainly, and would maybe use them as the example on this one, just because, you know, I don't know what the alien's intentions are going to be in all this, but I know what the robot's intentions are. And I think that common goal is a good way to look at it, because I think what it creates, and I think what we're seeing right now very publicly, and a lot of it is still raw at this point, but it's the idea of public accountability for what you say, feel, and do in a lot of this. And I think when you've got a common goal, when you've got a team setting, and this could apply in a lot of ways to what we are talking about, what's going on in the world right now, but I look at it in the team setting is you don't let things go. You're in an environment where because we all have a shared goal and because the stakes are what they are, we look at every little thing and we say, well, no, we understand the way that we need to go about this. We understand the way that helps the group as a whole be able to succeed. And we can't afford to let someone lag off. We can't afford to have weak links in the chain. And so there's a level of accountability that everybody involved holds each other to that I think also creates exactly what you're talking about.
I just, to be clear, I don't know if you're getting at this. You might not be. I'm not in on the accountability of everybody who thinks differently is out and fired and canceled. I'm just out on that.
No.
Okay.
I think it's the accountability to at least if you see something that you disagree with, if you see something that you think is not working, it's not to out them because that's again, it goes counter to everything. It's all right. We got to have a discussion about this because if we're not operating with some level of understanding of each other, then we're not going to be able to all go forward in a way that's productive and a way that helps.
Just to illustrate and tie it into this conversation, how crazy 2020 has been in the midst of coronaviruses and racial tensions and protests and riots somewhere in there in 2020. I think the government did acknowledge the existence of UFOs, and nobody even really paid any attention to that. I do think that was slipped into 2020.
We had that and murder hornets playing like a bit role in the movie. Like they were the character you saw once in the background that was like a cameo. Murder hornets and aliens. This has been an absolutely bat leap crazy year.
Michael Jr. is going to hang out. He's going to take me on in our weekly Will Cain Show quiz. Let's see what his chops are. That's coming up in just a moment on the Will Cain Show.
It could be a routine drive to pick up the kids after school or an epic road trip across the country. No matter where your travels take you, we know those miles count. We're Marathon. We have over 5,700 stations across our great nation. Our people are working hard every day to provide you with quality top-tier gasoline to improve engine performance and fuel your life. Marathon, fueling the American spirit.
It's Will Cain, Joe on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance, and this is Shower Sessions, part interview, part concert, all from the shower. Grammy winner St. Vincent invites up-and-coming artists to sing, share, and get funky, all in the sound of the home, the shower. Watch now at youtube.com/progressive. I asked in the first hour of the show, where do the protests go from here? What is a solution? Because a protest needs a purpose. So, what is progress? I'm excited because my phone lines are lit up. I've got people from the military and people who marched with Martin Luther King all on the phone lines who want to contribute to what the next step might be. I dare say it should not be canceling Drew Brees, but that's what everybody's currently preoccupied with within the sports world. On a lighter note, I hope and I want to be a quiz. The Will Cain Show Weekly Quiz with Mike Golic Jr. here on The Will Cain Show. All right, man. I've only really lost once, but it was rigged. And that's because Mike A. threw a knuckleball that didn't move down the center to a dude that had a master's in a topic that Mike thought would be an absolute fastball. Outside of that, I'm undefeated, Junior, so I wish you luck, my friend.
Listen, you're in luck today because I don't have a master's in anything. I went to one extra semester of graduate studies, and that was just to keep playing football. So this should be a nice level playing field.
What was your major at Notre Dame?
Film, theater, and television, baby.
Pop culture it is from Mike Golic Jr. Junior, you're the guest. You get to take it away. There's three categories, geography, history, and pop culture. Here are the rules. If you miss, I get a chance to earn the point. When I go first, if I miss, you get a chance to steal. So there is a potential 6 points out there, but if you get to two or three, you're going to win this thing. Okay? So you get to go first and pick your category.
All right, let's start with geography.
Went away. Woohoo! All right, that's Nuno.
All right. What is the westernmost state capital in the mainland USA?
Is it Juneau?
No Googling. What'd you say?
Is it Juneau?
Mainland.
Mainland.
It's mainland. I mean, it's a little bit separate, but yeah.
Lower 48. Dang it. I was bragging about my state capital chops a couple of days ago, and somebody called me out on it. Here's what okay. It's Seattle, Washington.
The correct answer is Salem, Oregon.
Really? Did I even get the capital of Washington right? It is Seattle, right? Not Olympia? What is the capital
of Washington?
I think
it's Olympia.
Dang it, Will. Double embarrassment. Okay. History. 0 points, Mike. We're off and running. No, it's my turn. My turn on geography, you know?
All right, Will. Which two states share borders with 8 other states each?
Which two states share borders with 8 other states? Wow. Okay. I think one is Utah. Is that one of them?
We need both at the same time, please.
But if I got one, we can keep going. If I've missed already, I'm out. Am I still alive?
Is that how you want to play it?
No, that's a good point, because then he'll have a hint. You're right.
So why don't you guys tell him?
I'll go Utah and 8 other states. I'm going to go Colorado.
Nope.
All right. I am going to go Tennessee.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one. And I'm in it.
Tennessee and Iowa.
Ooh, so close. Tennessee and Missouri.
I mean, obviously it's Tennessee. Good one, Junior. Good one. You should almost get a half point on that. All right, we move to history now. I go first on this one.
Okay, history is me. All right. This worldwide intergovernmental organization whose principal mission was to maintain world peace was created following World War One.
World War One, you say?
I do say.
I'm going to go the League of Nations. Bang. All right, Mike. Pressure's on now.
All right. I do one of these every week. Which U.S. president preceded Teddy Roosevelt?
Oh, I mean, come on. You talk about stacking the deck for someone. I mean, preceded Teddy Roosevelt. Lincoln? I don't know.
You're off by about 40 years on that one.
Yeah, no, I think it sounded even worse as soon as it left my lips than it did in my dumb peanut brain.
It's either William McKinley or Taft. And I don't think Roosevelt take over. McKinley was assassinated. I don't think he took over after an assassination. I'm going to go Taft.
You would have been right the other way. It was McKinley. Taft, Roosevelt preceded Taft.
Was Roosevelt, he wasn't president on two separate occasions, right? Who was that? There was a president that had two terms, but they weren't consecutive.
Was that Grover Cleveland?
Okay. All right. Thought I might. Okay. All right. This is a poor showing, but I'm still up 1-0. Mike goes first on pop culture, which is Bubba.
All right. Old pop culture. What do we got here?
Way to put the flair in it, Bubs.
Oh,
hold on, Mike. You're going to be extremely disappointed which decade this probably is in.
All Along the Watchtower and Knocking on Heaven's Door are two songs written by who?
Oh, it's All Along the Watchtower. That's Hendrix, isn't it?
Is that your final answer?
Yeah. Oh, come on.
All Along the Watchtower and Knocking on Heaven's Door. It's... Hendrix did some Dylan songs, but I don't think that's what it is. I think it's Clapton. I think they're Clapton songs.
Oh, man.
You would have been right with Bob
Dylan.
Yep.
Oh, my gosh. The second time I've picked the wrong one, narrowing down.
All right. Sad. This is 1-0 Will so far. A lot of wrong answers.
The sports guys.
All right, this Gainesville rocker died in 2017 after nearly 40 years on the road, famously wrote, "The waiting is the hardest part."
I mean, you know this is not my question. Dang it, it's 2017. I'm better at 70s music. 2017, Gainesville rocker. Is it... No, that Chris guy died earlier than that. I'm going to go with Chris, damn it.
Chris.
The 90s rocker, first name Chris.
Chris Cornell?
Yes.
Thank you for putting him out of his misery.
I thought this was a really easy one.
No, this is for Mike
Junior
to tie.
This is a super easy one.
This is it.
I handed it to you.
Can you repeat the question? Yeah.
Sure.
I don't have high hopes right now.
Nope. Me neither.
This Gainesville rocker died in 2017 after nearly 40 years on the road, famously wrote, "The waiting is the hardest part."
Oh, my goodness.
The 40 years on the road really should have pushed me off of Chris Cornell.
Yeah, he started touring at the age of 4.
Bold strategy. Boy, oh boy. I mean, can I just punt? I don't even have a good guess
what?
On this.
Jeez.
Bubba, I'm sorry.
Are you guys
still
waiting? Okay.
Wait, I have another guess.
Honestly, Will can have my guess.
You concede, I win 1-0. Hey, this is a total wild card guess. Is it Tom Petty? Oh. Oh. Well, Junior, I would brag that I beat you, but I don't think there's much bragging between either of us here on this quiz.
Sports, please. For the love of God.
I don't think we should do a sports quiz. That might be embarrassing as well. I don't think we should do it. All right, Junior.
You and I would have a good night out over beers. We would not have a great night out at trivia.
No, and I think I'm good at it too. That's the whole Will Cain story right there. All right, man. Really, really good talking to you, Junior. Thanks for hopping on.
See you guys.
All right. Phone lines lit up. I want to talk to you folks I have asked, what is the solution? Let's find a solution and move forward. By the way, you want to play the quiz? We'll do it one more time in our third hour. You can join right now. I'm obviously vulnerable. 888-729-3776. That's coming up on The Will Cain Show.
Geico gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like your mom, when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name, check. Birthday. Social security, is that a thing? Hey, Mom, what is my social security number? Mom? Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag done.
Geico, always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
We're going to work through the revenue concerns for the NBA and the NFL coming up in just a moment here on The Will Cain Show. If you missed any of our long-form interviews, Damian Woody, David Shaw, the head coach at Stanford, or real-life bank robber, go check them all. Out on demand in the Will Cain podcast brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. When you earn unlimited double miles on every purchase, your next trip is closer than you think. What's in your wallet? Plus, you can go back and listen to all the shows from the Will Cain Show this week. I promise you it's one of the few places, maybe the only place, where you're having a real open dialogue on what's going on in this country, open to disagreement. I asked, what's the solution? Protests have to have a purpose. What's the solution? What's the next step? David from Washington says he was there when MLK marched. What's up, David?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Well, I was in Memphis, Tennessee, April 4th, 1968, when Martin Luther King was assassinated. I've been married to the same woman. She's of a different race since 67. And as we drove into Memphis, they were announcing on the local radio stations that the first interracial marriage in the history of the state of Tennessee was performed that weekend. Jim Crow was prevalent. It was an interesting time. And when Martin Luther was assassinated, Memphis had riots and looting. And, of course, they were burning in Detroit and rioting in Los Angeles and Washington, D.C. and New York, and it was a lot of similarities today, but of course, Martin Luther's stature was so much more than this poor young man that was killed by a policeman. But there is similarities to it. And yes, there is prejudice across the United States. My wife and I have experienced it many times. We lived in the Deep South in Elizabeth City, North Carolina, after I got out of the military school that taught me to be an aviation structures mechanic back then. But the ultimate problems, if we're just talking about the problem of the police and the racial profiling, is really about each individual city making sure they don't have people with personalities that this police officer had that are prone to violence. And a lot of people are attracted to become policemen because they want to have that experience to be able to be tough guys being bullies, and they've got to be weeded out. So there has to be an internal change in how people are there, and it's harder to get people to become police. Seattle right. has a problem that the policemen leave Seattle because they don't feel supported by the community. So it's a real, real problem. And,
That's right, Gary. I appreciate the call. It's a predicament because you point out, I mean, you want good people to be police. If they're not supported politically, then you don't get good people to be police. But we also need probably, what is clear, some police reform. There's some stuff going around online on 8 different proposals and what those could be. We have to look at them each individually and see what makes sense. Gary from Miami is from the military, and he has some ideas of where we go from here. What's up, Gary?
Hey, how's it going? 54 years old, 25 years in the military, 12 in the Navy, 13 in the Air Force. My wife's a Leo. I'm an airline pilot. I have a master's degree in engineering. So there's 51 answers to this. Uh-huh. The first one is the Department of Justice needs to make the states understand poor policing will be dealt with. That's the first thing. And then the other answer is it's 50. We got 50 states, legislators, laws. Policing is a local issue. There is no one size fits all. That's why the protests look different in each state, as they should. Mm-hmm. But here's something that's common. I fly planes. When a plane's on fire, a lot of things light up. But you deal with the fire first. The mm-hmm. fire is the poor policing, and to fix it, you know, you see body cams. That's been the answer. Every protest, every death has resulted in change.
Hey, it's Gary, do you think we've made progress? I agree with you. Body cams are something that increases the accountability. I've seen the stats since 2015. Officer-involved killings of unarmed men, black and white, by the way, are down dramatically. I believe in the year.
Of course they are. And when I see a police car with four cameras, one on each corner, dash cam in the front, dash cam in the back, and a camera on a cop, and dual patrols, it has changed. Look at TV. If it's not people protesting, the cops with the protesters, the cops being interviewed, the chiefs at news conferences, change is happening. The answers are there. And your answer to your question, I know it's nebulous saying 50 plus one, but it ends up being every cop is now aware of their actions. They know that people
Gary,
are looking at them.
It's not nebulous. It's. I appreciate the call. It's a hard answer because there are no simple answers, and that's the truth. I don't know if I have time, but I'd love to hear from Mike in Oklahoma. What's up, Mike? Got to make it quick, man, even though I want to hear from you.
First time caller. I've been trying to get with you for a while. You know, if the line wasn't busy, I'd probably have been PI before PI. But
hey, Mike, I can tell. Let me stop you right now, okay? Not because you wanted to be PI before PI. No, because I wanted to give you the respect of the time that you need after trying to get on. I can already tell I'm going to run up against a commercial break. If you're capable of holding on for longer, I will get to you a little bit later in the show, Mike. I just don't want to do the disservice of giving you 20 seconds and not being able to make your point. So can you hang out?
I can do that.
Okay. Thank you, Mike. Coming up, I'm going to have a business reporter step in for a moment. I want to talk about what the predicament of the NFL revenues would be if there are not even 100% capacity fans in the stands. Will they go into the same revenue problems that Major League Baseball has? And then we will revisit some of your calls and how are we moving forward? What are the next steps? What are the solutions that the protests are looking for?
Thank you for listening to the Will Cain Podcast. You can listen to the Will Cain Show live weekdays at 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app. The Will Cain Podcast.